so there is that. Be aware. Approaching his 70s. And as he had heard that you often do when that age comes, sitting back in his sofa, a pensioner, free to do anything he wanted. And thinking back, yeah, they say that when you grow old like that, you only remember the old good old days and your short-term memory is going. And well, his short-term memory, well, still decent shape, but his life, and sitting there, now it's him thinking here. I understand that this is, this thought, this flashback, this reevaluation of your life becomes more and more, you know, it comes into the forefront. It becomes more and more important. What have I done with my life? Have I had a happy life? I mean, I know I could just plop, you know, leave this world at any moment. It's like not abnormal anymore. So accepting that, but also the fact that I could stay here for some decades more, then that question becomes kind of important, doesn't it? Did I use my life in the way that I should have used it? That I, you know, am I happy with my life? Or do I feel that, there's something remaining here to do, or, And he's watching his old painting, the draft to Höstdagjämning. What is that? Autumn solstice or whatever you say. He's thinking again, as he has been a few times now, maybe one day when my work here is over, I can just paint that painting the way I wanted it. And the others too. Wouldn't that be nice? One day when you really go into pension, just spend some years as an old man no one cares about what it does, and just paint, play music, write whatever there's more to write. No pressure there on you to, I mean, self-afflicted pressure, you know, the life mission and all that, that you have dedicated yourself to. It's there. You felt it clearly now when you're sitting there. But, you know, maybe one day when he has written everything there is to, he has to write and produced everything he could and wanted to produce, and so on, to just sit and paint again, and he's looking at the figures in those paintings, and thinking that art is very nice. You know, Leonardo da Vinci could make a 3-4 paintings or whatever, you know, and he's a legend still. Now, I know people, they like to, when they idealize someone, they like to interpret their art in all kinds of ways, you know. So it happened with the Beatles too. I mean, people, they made all these interpretations that were completely wild, and they remember, you know, John Lennon said, you know, this is amazing. So anyway, but what if the artist really put messages, stories there in his paintings that you could see there, find there. Maybe you would have to look for it, and there's a mystery there. Why did he paint that little detail there? Why did he paint that being down there under the bush? Who is that woman there? What is the light she's holding? And it's painted with real oil paint, the way the painters did it back then at the time of Leonardo, those Florence painters. Back there in this 16th, maybe even 15th century, at the time when Lo Chaitanya appeared, things happened then in the world. I'm still recording. Yeah, so he really, he sat there and really got carried away into that world there of the paintings. And paintings he could do, and it was cool. Yeah, when my boys stand on their own feet. Take care of themselves and theirs, and maybe even their parents a little bit. Then I will get my colors together. But then I thought, well, that's what made him start to talk. He had been sitting there thinking about which time in my life am I now drawn to and like to think about as the best time in my life. It was as a brahmachari. Just completely, subjectively, honestly. Because all other times up to that, up till I became a brahmachari, had been questionable, unsatisfying, just troublesome, and yes, emotionally heavy and yeah, not well, troublesome in many ways, so which is what life is, but here a meaning came and purpose, but not just here someone who needs some religious group to disappear into and get some kind of social life and meaning in life, but no, things, pieces of the puzzle fell into place, many of them. In fact, you could see the well, the rest now was to fill in piece by piece. And enjoy doing it. And yeah, he remembered women. I mean, he thought back then, sat there in the brahmacharya ashram thinking, ugh. these guys are right. Women are nice, but women and men together. It's tough. And say what you want about the ladies, but it's easy to understand men. Yes, he understood later that some of those there were gays. Or even a couple of transsexuals. In other words, they kind of... Well, anyway. But he was not. And that was so strange. He had this strong longing for an attraction to a woman, but not just women. That was the thing. He felt, knew, if you asked him, there is someone there for him. But where? When? And each time he had thought that now I found her, then whoops, it wasn't her. It wasn't her. He wasn't him. So he just felt then, sitting there 23, that I'm not here for that. I'm here to serve this Sankirtan mission. And well, he eventually got a wife and got kids. But there, he also mainly in the romantical sense experienced trouble and that also didn't last. So he was confused. But thinking back then, he remembered how he... And he learned from the Swamijis and the other saffron guys that, you know, this is the way it is. This is life and this is a material human world. And we are the smart ones because we can avoid it. Life becomes so much easier and simpler and happier when you don't get too entangled down there, you know, because these are the modes of nature. Man, woman is mode of passion. It's rajoguna, it means, yeah, I'm going to get in there and have sex and enjoy that beautiful... I mean, that's how men think, at least men. Lady, and then, you know, do fun things and enjoy life and get kids and be rich and, you know, have a nice home. I mean, the whole thing there of desire in this material world, you know, that I want to really get into it and enjoy that whole package. That's kind of why we come here, right? But then there are those who are on the path of liberation, mukti marga, and even a higher sense, deeper sense, bhakti marga. We kind of, no, it's not that we are necessarily. Some are, you know, Advaita influenced. And they think this is the way, the only way, you know, just heavy renunciation and all that asceticism. But also the Bhakta, Margas, they look at a different, they look the other direction. They look for their love and their friendship and their family and, you know, all that in the other direction, towards God, towards Krishna, Radha Krishna, Gandharva, Giridhara, all in there. The way they expand this tree of life outer, where we are little twigs. There, that's, isn't it beautiful? And then what you do is that you kind of just turn your back a bit to that game going on down there. Because that's how you can see it then. Now we're talking metaphor here, but to pretend that you're standing there, this is kind of how it is, and then there behind you, you realize that was just a game. Just like I turn off, take off the VR headset goggles, where I was just playing, you know, one of those super realistic VR games, 3Ds, with touch and everything, and wow, and taste and smell, and wow, that was cool. But you know, when you're in there, it can be poof, scary, because you choose yourself. You want to have the fine, good, happy walk in the forest adventure, or you want to get down there and on a heavy adventure. You know, what kind of movie do you want to see today? The action movie, the horror movie, or the romantic movie, you know, adventure movie. It's up to you. So this is, you can see it that way. This is a ride we are on. And you were just on that ride. And then you stand there and you go, that was wild. Yep. That's what you get when you have a free will and creativity. Like God. And you realize, yep, I'm a little spark, a little ray of God, and therefore I have the same, however, in a small quantity, creative power. But you know, when you, just as a teenager, when you have made that rebellion against your parents, you know, now I'm free, I'm gonna do what I want to do, and find the best, and you know, sometimes teenagers, they go out and do all that the parents forbade them to do, get drunk, take drugs, and you know, get to bed with every, you know, get into sex and whatever. You know, in the old, I don't know how it is now, but in the old days, there were more restrictions on you when you grew up. My generation, so we kind of made rebellion. So the 70s, whew, my goodness. We were quite loose, here in Stockholm at least. But I wasn't really. I didn't like that. I wanted. And now he's talking to himself, to his voice recorder. You know, I was looking for my girl, and And then he's imagining, you know, well, maybe one day when I step out of this dream and I'm standing here in real life, she's there, we're all here, and, you know, the family and our friends, and the way we should be, we always were. I was just in that little, that ride there. So, he, thinking back on these days of his brahmacharya life, where they learned it that way, but then sometimes in the wrong way too. I mean, they were all young, immature, and neophytes. Although some thought they were senior Vaishnavas. They were right, and that the proof in it was that their life was happy. Out there in Sankirtan, in the vans, it was tough. But it was good friendship, and it was, you know, they did incredible things, actually, together. Now, there are, and you thought further, there are, of course, also such nice memories from family life. But the first, I must say, in my case, outweighs the latter. For others, it might be different, but that's just me. So therefore, now, as I've been for a couple of years now, feeling the, how to say, need to decide how to spend the rest of my life and what to do. I've been drawn irresistibly, it seems, and more now it seems to be definitely. Back to that, you know, saffron, whether externally or not, but that dedication, that kind of, you know, brahmacharya sannyasi, that kind of life there, which I don't, some they put nice big labels and titles and all that, that people out there need in order to know how to treat people and who to respect and not to respect, you know. But he was thinking beyond that. It's not about the dress and the title and the social position. But it's just a decision in the heart. And he was more and more lately, well, he had already made that decision actually in front of Shishi Gandharika Giridhara, a promise like that. So he was mainly just getting used to it. Sometimes you make a decision, although you may still, you know, be a little attached to and feel a little difficulty to, you know, draw yourself up from that previous state into the new one that you have decided to enter. So, but it's good to make a decision, a vow like that, personally, deep within, and I think that's the most important. Then if you do it in front of some others, you know, publicly or whatever, then that's another thing. And I understand that the samskara is powerful, especially when you do it in front of others, because then it really becomes a powerful thing in your life. You're like socially pressured too to follow this, but it can also turn into that, no, I'm a star, you know, I'm an important person here. So he decided to, well, that what he had done was probably, and the word probably disappeared more and more for every day now, the best, the right decision that will lead to the happiest life, remainder of this life here for him, not wearing himself out, wasting his energy, struggling with conflicts and compromises and expectations both ways and this and that. Yeah, sometimes it is nice to become a bit asocial, to just go into solitude. It doesn't mean that you will stay like that. But then at this age, maybe, some do, until the end of their lives. You know, some do it because they are bitter, thinking back and, oh, he did that and they did that and humans are useless. I think that sometimes rich, influential, you know, these kind of people there, the big ones up there, could sometimes end their lives like that. It's better to be on the grassroots level, I think, from that point of view also. And to deal with yourself, so, because, you know, as they say, what you see in others is what you have in yourself, or something like that. If you criticize others, it generally reflects something being there in your, at least in dissatisfaction, because if you are happy and satisfied, then you won't criticize others, you will just have compassion for others, because they don't hurt you. You are happy and satisfied, right? So yeah, there his thoughts were flying around a bit, and then he turned back to his work.